live aboard Mobile Podcast Command. This is going to be podcast 878. Well, I'll tell you where I am. I am in West Virginia, and in this podcast, well, first of all, we're going to save West Virginia for its own podcast and some of Ohio for its own podcast, but I'm going to talk about my trip through Indiana and parts of Ohio and Illinois in podcast 878, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, I'm driving along through West Virginia today, and my phone rings, and it is Greg Ryan from Ryan Plumbing and Heating, and he was like, just listen to your last podcast. It was great, and it was great to talk to Greg. Greg's very busy right now because they are doing some heating checks and getting ready for handling the problems that happen in winter. In particular, and these have happened to me, the worst thing has not happened to me, but the just about the worst thing has happened to me, and that is the heating went out. And when the heating goes out, you're lucky if you're home because you can call CenterPoint, let's say, and you can get some space heaters, or if you have space heaters, you can get them, and you can get them in there to at least keep the place at just above freezing. Because if your heating goes out and you're out at a hockey game or something, and you don't come back for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, you're going to have busted pipes. And in fact, the second time my heat went out, and I'll tell you why in a second, I had to actually take a space heater and open the sink upstairs and keep the heat on into the sink because that pipe almost froze. Well, what happened to your heating, Bob Davis? Well, we didn't do heating checks, and the guy that owns my house didn't do heating checks, didn't check the heat or service the heating system for years, and of course, it broke twice. And so this is why you call Ryan Plumbing and Heating, because you want reliable service for all of these systems. Many times people think they know what to do. These systems today are pretty complex, and you need to have somebody that knows what they're doing, and this is what Ryan does. They go back 4 generations in St. Paul. When it comes to plumbing or heating problems, these are the people you want to talk to. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. A lot of times people forget to turn off faucets and other issues. Do you cover your air conditioner or leave it open? Lots of things when it comes to this time of the year. And what about your older relatives that may not be able to do the kind of stuff that they used to do? So these are all questions. Let me give you the number for Ryan Plumbing in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Online at ryanplumbing.com. Metro-wide from St. Paul's Frogtown for 4 generations. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Well, you've heard me talking about Whitetail Builders and my friend Randy Graybaugh, who runs Whitetail. And he texted me, while I'm traveling and said, hey, you know, one of the things I want you to mention real quick is that when people are thinking about additions this Thanksgiving, when they're looking at the house and you got all your relatives in the house and it seems small, or you think you want to do an addition or maybe improving your basement to get your teenagers downstairs, you got to do some planning. And so this is a good time to talk to Whitetail about that planning. Let me give you the number. You can call Randy personally at 612-282-8801. I can recommend Randy because I know that they're going to pay attention to the details and be with you from start to finish on the project, which is so unique in the contracting world. 612-282-8801. Whitetail Builders, or click on the banner at the top of the page at the Bob Davis Podcasts that says Whitetail, and of course their website is whitetailbuildersinc.com, helping you build your dreams. Let me just get my coffee, and we're going to move the mic to do that, but we're a little more informal in Mobile Podcast Command, and I'll explain that in a second. So, and I'm probably going to spend the first half of this podcast talking about Mobile Podcast Adventures and my love for this vehicle and how much fun this is once you settle down. And, you know, you've heard in the last podcast I talked about just getting so excited and then traveling being a process. So it's time for an easy talker, just reviewing and consolidating some of my experiences sitting here in Mobile Podcast Command on a Sunday night, still on the road to Virginia for Thanksgiving. And we're going to do that. So yeah, first half of the podcast, before we get into Illinois and Indiana, especially loved Indiana and Ohio, I want to talk about this thing. And everybody knows that knows me knows that this is somebody's messaging me. This is a 2000 Ford Super Duty E450 ambulance, and so it's 20 years old, and it spent a good part of its life on an Indian reservation over by Milwaukee. So there's rust issues here and there, and I wouldn't say it's beat up. This platform continues to amaze me. This thing runs and runs and runs, and it isn't the diesel engine or the transmission that gives me fits. It's other things like tires and, you know, lenses from the ambulance breaking. There's these plastic lenses, and if a truck throws up a rock or something, it breaks the lens, and they're $80 a piece, and I got to fix it. And I don't want to go on and on about that, but in fact, I did in a couple of the podcasts. I just took that out because nobody wants to hear it. But those are the things that vex me. And it's a very interesting process, what you go through. You get really upset about every little thing you hear, every little noise. You know, I have two tires on the front that are kind of wearing improperly. And I talked to one of the mechanics about it at Complete Auto Service in Blaine. And those are kind of my ground crew guys, Tony and Chris and Pat. And I said, well, what do you think? And they were like, you know, it's a truck, and it's an old truck. And these tires in front, every time we see one of these old trucks, the tires don't wear properly. In fact, my friend John Holland told me that last summer. This the first time I came through here, and headed back through Tennessee. He looked at the tires and was like, you know, why don't you just get some new tires? And so this kind of stuff, just because I'm so obsessive, this kind of stuff, just I'm driving along, and of course, every little sound is the tires going flat, or the tire. I'm going to start seeing, wear that's going to mean that the tire is going to come off, or some ridiculous thing. And I know that's not going to happen, but I think about that all the time. And if I hear a little bit different noise in the transmission, I think about that. But after you're out for two or three days and the thing doesn't break down, then you start to go, well, okay, so I have a little bit more confidence. In truth, this thing has never broken down except for last summer in June when the alternator finally went. And I could smell the alternator going bad for probably a year and a half or more. And I would go, what is that smell? Didn't know what it was. Didn't understand that the reason I'd park the truck in the garage and I couldn't get, I would have to recharge the battery. And I kept thinking, I'm going to have to get a new battery. And of course, it was the alternator, and I ended up on the side of the road. That's the only time that it's broken down, fingers crossed. And when that happens, you just call somebody. I have insurance for that and service calls and so forth. And they come and they fix it. And in the case of last summer in Iowa, the guy came out the next day with an alternator and installed it. And after all the refunds and coverage checks from the insurance companies and everything else, I got most of my money back, so it only cost me about $280, which is probably par for the course for a new alternator. Had I made it into Ames, or wherever I was going at the time, I don't remember where I was, Fort Dodge, I think. In fact, I think I was right by the airport at Fort Dodge. I'll put a link up to that podcast. And so I was happy. So after about 1,000 miles... and a couple of nights, you start calming down, and it's kind of neat. It this just sort of relaxation that kind of comes from it. I'm very tired. I sent a picture of me and this thing to a friend of mine, and she was like, "You look really happy." And I was like, "I thought I looked tired," but she said, "No, you look like you're really having a good time, and you're really happy." And I am, and I'm very relaxed. And I'll tell you why I'm very relaxed. So I alluded to this, I think, in the previous podcast, that this thing is set up to just run. You can run the engine all night long if you want, all day and all night. And I just don't like to do it. And I'll tell you why. Some guy at a parade last summer, the parade I got kicked out of, the Pana Prague parade. But before the parade, this guy came up to me and said, "Oh, I used to work on these. I'm an expert diesel mechanic, blah, 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 blah." And I said, "Yeah, they're amazing. You can just leave them run," because it was running. And he goes, "Oh, no, that's not good for those engines." So now I'm all freaked out that it's not good. And yet, what is it? It's basically a fire truck. It's an ambulance, and it is designed to run because they have to leave them running because they have all this medical equipment in here, and they have to keep it powered up in case somebody has a problem. And these ambulances sit at racetracks and air shows and high school football games and everything else in the fall and winter and summer waiting for somebody to get hurt so they can take them to the hospital. And guess what? They're usually running. Now, you can plug it in and run everything if you can find a plug. And therein lies another problem in terms of travel. And this is this now this chaotic search for plugs. And that drives me crazy. So the last couple of nights, I've either just boondocked with the engine running I don't remember where I was night before last. But last night, I went to a Love's truck stop. I'm in West Virginia, right on the the western edge of Virginia, I mean of Ohio and West Virginia, at Ripley, and this is, I think it's Ripley, I don't know, I'm so confused about where I have been all day, and in the last few days. I actually have my maps and my trip log here, so I can talk about this with some degree of confidence when I get into it in the second half of this podcast. But I basically had the engine running all night as I was working on my podcast. And the previous night, I was doing the same thing. I don't even remember where I was. And I had the engine running because I couldn't find a plug. And I was talking to my son, and he goes, you know, don't you have an army sleeping bag? And I was like, you know, I do. And I didn't. This is how crazy you get. I was so obsessed with finding a plug and being mad that I had to run the engine all night. And it's toasty warm in here when you run the engine all night. He goes, why don't you just pull that thing out and turn the engine off and climb in the vehicle, climb in the bag. And I got out, and I pulled the thing out, and I threw it down on the ground. I was really angry, and climbed into the sleeping bag and zipped it up. And I thought, well, this might work, you know. So then I put a bunch of stuff. Usually I have a hammock. I put a bunch of stuff down on the floor to make it softer. And I have new carpeting on the floor, so it's double insulated. And I bought a black carpet remnant for like $80. No, $30. And put it in, cut it and put it in. And then I turned the engine off and I climbed in the bag and I laid there for a while and I was like, I'm sweating. And I thought, well, this might work. And so I slept in the bag without any heat on in here. And I was thinking about my friend Michael, who does that on the back of his pickup truck when he goes hunting and stuff. He just climbs in the back of the pickup truck with the sleeping bag. You know what, my friend? A salute to you, because that turns out to be a tremendous way. So the last two nights, I have turned the engine off and climbed in the bag and just had a fantastic sleep. I was in Ripley, wherever it is, Virginia, or West Virginia. And when I woke up the first night, I was in Ohio someplace. When I woke up the first night, I could see my breath when I woke up. This morning, it was like 40 degrees, 41 degrees. And as soon as the sun came out, it started to warm up because it's been fairly warm over here. And so when I woke up, I was really still warm. And I actually slept through the night and got up at about 9:30 and was pretty cold and started the engine up, because then that starts the warming process to get the thing warmed up for everything that I'm going to do. And I climbed back in the bag and I fell asleep. And I slept until like, I think I got up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock. Yeah, I got up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock and cranked the engine and then climbed back in the bag because it was really cold in here, and then proceeded to sleep until 9:30 this morning. And I feel great because I finally got a full night's sleep. So fatigue and being on the road and doing something like this, this is a lot of work. First of all, it's a lot of work, as I mentioned in the previous podcast, to find those back roads. And to go to these towns and say, I'm going to pull off the road here and go into this town and see what's up and see if there's something for me to talk about here or whatever. And then you're recording. I should say I am recording the whole time. and stopping and recording and having problems with electronic stuff and whatever. And then in the evening, I have to start transferring files and trying to figure out what I've got. And most of the time, I'm disgusted. So this podcast will be a little different concerning Ohio and parts of Illinois and, well, Illinois and Indiana for sure and parts of Ohio, because I'm going to do it from memory. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I want to try to change the texture of the podcast. It's a little bit when I'm on the road. So I pulled out the microphones and the preamps and got everything plugged in. And now I'm just doing it with a microphone sitting in the big chair here in the ambulance. And we're going to do that in the second half of this podcast because I want to do more than just say, I went 16 miles on 33 East and then I turned and I went 17 miles on this route for this long and this is what I saw, because a lot of observations go through my head when I'm driving. And, you know, for me, this is very, very therapeutic. And I think about a lot of stuff. And so for me, cruising through these states, even though it might seem like I'm going really fast, I'm not, and I'm seeing things that I think are really interesting. In fact, I've uncovered at least two stories that I think are really significant, which I talked about in the last podcast. So we're going to go ahead and talk about this trip through Indiana and most of Ohio and Illinois in the second half of this podcast. You know, one of the things that's great when you're traveling is sponsors that will travel with you. And of course, that's ReliaFund. I've been associated with ReliaFund for quite some time. I have a little button on my website that allows people to pay with checks, clients to pay with checks if they want. ReliaFund was at the dawn of the payment processing revolution in this country. And they work with businesses to integrate their systems seamlessly with all of your systems. So a lot of businesses have, as they grow, they develop pretty sophisticated back office systems. If you're doing that or you've done it or you're updating, it's a great time to call ReliaFund to see about getting better payment processing. ReliaFund is a payment processor that has been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. This is what I mean when I say they integrate with your systems. No long-term contracts. They're secure and technology-focused. Here's the number, 866-243-5040. That's 866-243-5040. If you call them, you'll talk to either Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry, real human beings, or you can check them out online at ReliaFund.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at BobDavisPodcast.com. That will take you to their customer interface, and you can tell them your deal and get some ideas, and they'll get to you or get back to you from that. That's how I found ReliaFund, so I know that they are on it when it comes to that. ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com. ReliaFund, ReliaFund.com. Yeah, I do. I brought my printer in my giant box that's at the back of Mobile Podcast Command. It's a boat anchor, to tell you the truth, and I hate it. And why do I hate it? I love the printer, but the problem is the print cartridges are so friggin' expensive. Cartridge World and Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores. Their cartridges are great. I love mine. They work better, I think, than the new ones. 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632 from wherever you are. Click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com or call Jason at 763-420-6632. Why throw money away? They can also get you a free printer if you qualify. So ask them about that. Cartridge World. Let me take a sip of coffee. By the way, what you're hearing in the background is the space heater, because I managed to find an excellent campsite, which I think is Smoke on the Water campsite or something, outside of Elkin, I think it's Elkin, West Virginia, considerably further out from the town. And I'm driving along, and there it is. And I learned my lesson. If you see a campground, especially this time of the year, and there's spaces open, you turn around and you go into that campground, especially at dusk. I mentioned in a previous podcast, I saw a guy hit a deer right in front of me. Basically, it happened seconds before me and this truck came around the bend in I don't know where we were. I think it was Iowa, but I'm not sure. It was right. I think it was either close. It was right on the border, close to Fairfield, Iowa, in the early evening. And so that taught me that if you're driving in the winter and it's 4:30 p.m., you better start looking for a place to stay. Because, and particularly true in West Virginia, you do not want to be on these mountain roads at night, not because they're slippery or scary, because I don't go faster than 35, 40 miles an hour, because you can't in this thing. It's like driving on the Pacific Coast Highway. You're lucky if you get it up to 45, but because I don't want to hit a deer. And, you know, I came around a bend today in West Virginia and saw a dog in the middle of the road. And dogs are at least smart enough to usually to get out of the way when they see a vehicle coming. Deer just stand there and you hit the thing. So that would be the end of this mobile podcast command unit if I hit a deer. That would just be the end of it. So I'm being very careful. And at 4:30, I happened to see this place. I guess it was closer to 5. And I pulled in and I went to the bar. And she goes, "Well, we have nothing to do with that place." And I said, "Well, what do I do?" And she goes, "Well, you call that number." So I called the number and I talked to this guy, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm deer hunting up in blah, 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 blah." And I said, "Well, you know, I just need electricity, and there looks like there's a lot of open spaces. What do I do?" And he goes, "Just give me $20 and put it in an envelope and stick it in the mailbox and have fun." And that was it. So I got space 69 right here, electrified site, and I have a pretty powerful little space heater going, and that is what you hear in the background. I'm just going to go ahead and leave that running. It's not quite a fireplace, but it provides some nice white noise in the background, and it keeps my feet warm. And that is enough to keep Mobile Podcast Command warm. It's probably going to be in the 30s tonight here, so it's very relaxing because it's quiet. Don't have to worry about the engine running all night, and I'm not cold. So I just finished a fabulous steak dinner in Brussels sprouts, which I made on the camp stove. And so let's talk about the trip so far. Let's talk about very quickly some of these places that I've been. I'm on the fifth leg right now in West Virginia, so tomorrow I'll probably get to my destination. So let's go back to the beginning of this trip right now. Let's go back to leg one, which we talked about in the first podcast. So then we came out of Burlington and cruised through Illinois and all the way down through Peoria. So let me talk about the reason for the trip a little bit. You know, right now there seems to be a lot of focus because of the, well, I don't know if it's because of the election. I don't want to get political, and I don't want to go through the whole battleground state nonsense. But I think that ever since the 80s and ever since this period when a lot of companies either moved into the southern tier of the United States to manufacture or sent their manufacturing overseas, there's been this fixation on decline in America. And if you want evidence, we'll just go to Muncie or Detroit or Chicago or all over the Midwest where people are in trouble and life is difficult. Or this is where the real people are. This is where it has this mythical quality. So it's been a while since I've been through the mid-tier of these states. And that was one of the things I wanted to say, okay, so what's going on here? And I just want to drive through and kind of get a feel for it. You know, and I'll probably come back in the summer and kind of build on that. But I also, you know, love to see these small towns and see, well, gee, let's see if we can find a really good small town for people to live in. And wouldn't that be great? You know, that kind of a thing. And again, it's also my own little search for, you know, the kind of life that people live outside of the glare of the media, because nobody ever comes out to this part of the country to talk to people. So through Illinois, let me just put it this way, some observations about Illinois. Illinois has this look. Illinois also has some specific problems right now related to taxation and budget, and they're near bankruptcy. So Illinois is worse than California, financially speaking, actually, without having Silicon Valley and Hollywood and beautiful weather. So there's an interesting look to Illinois, and I thought I would have more to say as I drove through Illinois. But I really didn't. Peoria is very much an industrial town. I had to do a lot of switches and turns and actually didn't have any problem at all going through Peoria like I did through Des Moines. as I worked on picking up 24 East right across through to Indiana. But Illinois was relatively uneventful along those lines. So we'll just leave it at that. You know, Peoria, a lot of these industrial towns in the Midwest look rough because, you know, the people there are not getting rich. They're, you know, working hourly pay jobs, and there's a lot of old cars, and there's a lot of rough looking people, but there's also a lot of places to work. Cat, I think, is in Peoria, and there's a lot of other companies throughout that area. And I'm going to make a point about that in a second. So then you get into Indiana, and there's almost an immediate difference to Indiana. And I took pictures in Indiana, and I didn't really take any pictures in Illinois that I can remember. I might have taken pictures in one of the small towns in Illinois, but I drove through Indiana, went 24 East to Logansport, which is actually a really nice town. By the time I got to Logansport, it was dark, and the idea was to pick up 19 South north of Peru and then follow that through to 124, and then take 124 all the way to 33 East, and that would take me on through to Ohio. Well, I think that's where I talked to my son, because I was in Logansport. I don't even remember where I stayed that night. And the next day, I got up at 5 o'clock. Oh, it was in a Walmart parking lot. That's what it was. And I was going to leave the engine running. And my son was like, why don't you just roll the bag out? So I did. And it was great. Got up at 5 o'clock because that's what I've been doing, because I want to get 12 hours of driving in. Took off. And Logansport, by the light of the early light, here's another industrial town that looked pretty nice, actually. And then I got to Peru. And I got to Peru, I think it was, you know, Peru's not that far from Logansport. But I was driving through these back roads, and it was almost like that movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, driving through the forest and then through some hill country, and it was dark, and I couldn't really see where I was. As the sun was coming up, I got to Peru, and I ended up, you know, going and getting onto this 124 East route. Why do I bring this up? If you get the chance, drive, get to Peru, and then drive roughly 2 miles outside of Peru and jump on 124 East, and that takes you to 33. This little section of 124 starts out as Riverside Drive in Peru, and it takes you along the river bottom. I don't even know what river it is. I guess it's the Wabash River. Some of the most beautiful farm country I think I've ever seen. Peru itself, I think, is a really nice little town. And so that was cool. And I traveled along that way. And I actually have to look at the map because I want to make sure that I don't really miss any of the things that I saw while I was in Indiana, because Indiana, I was really impressed with Indiana. There's obviously a lot of growth in Indiana because of the, there's debates about this, but without getting political, Indiana has been doing a lot of tax incentives to get businesses, and they've gotten a lot of companies, not just American companies, but foreign companies. And this brings me to this point about American jobs and American people and American this and that. You know, a lot of times when you hear people talking about we've got to save American jobs, guess what happens? BMW and Honda and foreign companies that you don't even know from Japan and Europe come in, and they hire American workers in these places to do this. And it's fascinating because people – oh, sorry about that. And it's fascinating because people don't realize that that's what they do. So what I was doing is coming across on 124 – and 24 in north-central Indiana, just south of Fort Wayne. And so I went through all these towns, Peru, Wabash, Huntington, Decatur. And so what's really interesting is when I got to Decatur, there's this place called Bern. So let me just explain this real quick because I don't have a lot of time left, because I like to try to keep these short. I kept seeing these beautiful farms, just beautiful homes, beautiful farms, very picturesque, these amazing little towns driving through there. So when I get to Route 27, just south of Decatur, that's where I got to jig up to jump on 33, or I'll end up coming down to, I'll be too far north in Ohio. So I wanted to come down 33, which cuts south diagonally, southeast across Ohio. okay? It goes through Columbus. So Fort Wayne is considerably far north of Columbus, Ohio, right? So I had to make this turn. Well, I turned the wrong way, and I kept seeing these amazing farms, and I kept seeing, and remember, this is Friday or Saturday morning, and it's misty, and the sun is shining, and it's there's frost on the ground, and I'm seeing these farms where all the buildings were white, and some of them are compounds, and I'm thinking, is this some kind of religious thing? These are perfect farms. They are perfect. There's the lawn is cut, or you know, they're using animals to eat the lawn, or I don't know what they're doing. They had horses, and the horses would run in the fields and follow the cars, and the fences were very picturesque, and the whole thing was like out of a storybook. And I kept seeing these, and there would be you know, a farm with these. There would be a farm where you'd see all these buildings and so forth, and then there'd be a normal farm, and then you'd see more of these perfect, picturesque white farms. Well, then I turned south on 27, which is the wrong way, because I was supposed to go north to pick up 224 at Decatur and then swing down to 33, but I went the wrong way, and I drove to this place called Bern. So Bern, B-E-R-N-E. I would highly recommend visiting this place, especially in the summer. I'm sure it's amazing. So what were these farms? And then I saw these people in their carriages with their horses, and I saw a little girl on this strange sort of bike from the early 1900s riding down the lane with her little hat on and her little dress on. And I go, oh, it's the Amish. Well, it's not the Amish. It's Mennonites. And this little town called Bern has all these Mennonite furniture stores and businesses, and in the middle of town is this giant tower, and the whole town is like Germany. It's got these buildings which are kind of built to look like the buildings in Germany. So I thought, what a great place, Bern, Indiana. And all through there, all through this area, from Peru to Wabash to Huntington, you know, Bluffton, this place called Bluffton is one of the most perfect towns I've seen. If you live in Bluffton, you know, and you get subsidies as per the last podcast, well, I guess you've done the right thing with them. But Bluffton is this amazing, maybe it's Bluffton, I don't know, B-L-U-F-F-T-O-N is like a perfect small town. And I texted a friend of mine that wants to get out of Minnesota, and I go, what about Indiana? You know, she keeps talking about Texas. And I was like, what about Indiana? Because there's a lot of work there, warehouse type work and things like that. And here's this just amazing little town right there. So how is the Midwest doing? Well, you know, the industrial centers, particularly in Indiana, but also in Illinois, seem to be doing pretty good, but it's not necessarily American businesses. You know, Lafayette is very, I told you, last summer I went through Lafayette. I didn't go through this time, but it was drive time in Lafayette, and I thought I was in Chicago because all the plants were doing shift change. Obviously, Fort Wayne has been an industrial center for years and years and years, going back to the 1900s. This is the industrial heartland of America. But Indiana, like Illinois and Ohio, is also an agricultural giant. So between Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, and Lafayette, that little triangle there, this is a very prosperous section of the country. And I didn't see really any stress. Not the kind of stress that I kind of saw in Peoria, where they're trying to fix the streets and they're doing a lot of stuff. But Peoria has certainly... I'm sorry, but I would say Peoria's probably seen better days. I don't know how they're doing now, and I didn't research it before this podcast. And this is all before we got into Ohio, and we're coming to the end of this. So I guess I'll do Ohio and West Virginia together because I'm having such a great time. And the hard part about doing this is you're riding along, and you can't remember. Like, you can't remember a whole state for 10 minutes. You're like, where was I when? And you don't remember, because you're just pushing forward. And this is why I always say, you know, happiness is a clean windshield and a full tank of gas, because you only look forward. Think of life, and think about how much we look backward and how much we obsess over the things that we've done wrong. Or think about how often we worry about something that's going to happen. When you're sitting in the driver's seat and you're driving, and the highway is rolling by, and not on a freeway. I'm talking about two-lane roads driving through these fantastic towns, and you think, I'm gonna turn off and I'm gonna drive down Main Street. You don't think about yesterday. And then when you get to tomorrow, you don't even remember what you did. You know, you're just having this just incredible positive experience of pushing forward, pushing forward, pushing forward. And I think that is a great life lesson. So here's to Indiana and Illinois, the central parts of those states. Here's to the people that live in those areas. And, you know, we'll talk about Ohio and West Virginia on the next podcast. So speaking of manufacturing, I got to mention DepoStar because companies are either bringing their manufacturing back to the United States because China ain't all it's cracked up to be, even with the tariff discussions. I'm hearing that a lot. If that is you and you're looking for an American manufacturing company, remember DepoStar, American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit DepoStar at DepoStar.com. All right. Thank you so much again for all of the donations for Mobile Podcast Command. Sue Solomon, thanks again for $25. And of course, Jill Serbet, $75. So that is awesome. And it goes right in the tank. Today, I have to admit, I did buy an omelet. No, I didn't use PayPal for that. So I paid for that. So I really appreciate the donations. And they do go into the tank. So way, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You just look for the donate button on the BobDavisPodcast.com right underneath the picture of Mobile Podcast Command. I do appreciate the donations. Also, the share on social media when I post a picture or a video or a podcast is great. And you can get the podcasts at Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, all kinds of podcast aggregation services like Podcatcher, different apps. Spotify is great. A lot of people are saying great things about Spotify. I am on Spotify as well. Just search for the Bob Davis Podcasts or visit the BobDavisPodcast.com and you can subscribe to the RSS feed right off the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. All right. In West Virginia, Virginia tomorrow, and then I have to start plotting my return to the Twin Cities, trying to figure out how I'm going to do that. Thanks for listening to podcast 878, the Bob Davis Podcasts.